kina we're going to do is kina tes zayin. Let's skip ahead a little bit. Kina tes zayin tells the story of Titus HaRasha. Normally we do the Churban Agadatas at night after Eicha, so you don't have to get very far in the Churban Agadatas to get to the story of Titus HaRasha. Last night we started after that, though. We only did the second half of the Churban Agadatas. So a quick reminder, Titus HaRasha is the evil Roman emperor, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and vandalized everything, robbed us of all the kelim, took the parochas, according to the Gemara, made a bag out of it, a sack, threw all the kelim in the bag, schlepped it with him on a boat back home. And when his boat was miraculously about to be sunk by a tremendous wave, and all the boats around him were just floating right on by without any problems, Titus HaRasha draws the natural conclusion. Now, we would draw the natural conclusion that you've done something wrong, buddy. You got to fix this. God is powerful and he's going to destroy you. But no, that's not Titus's conclusion. He draws the conclusion that the God of the Jewish people is really strong in the water. But let's see him do something on dry land. I bet he can't do anything on dry land. It's hard to get into the brain of someone like this, that would be his conclusion. And the Gemara famously tells us what happened to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, really? You think that nothing can happen to you on the dry land? And he lets the waves settle. Why does Titus think only the water is going to be the downfall? Only the water is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could punish, because that's how you punish Paro b'Mitzrayim. That's how you punished Sisera, not Sisera himself, but his army, by Nachal Kishon. It doesn't say in the Gemara, but that's the Mabul. Water. He's very good with water, this God. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you'll come to the dry land, and your downfall is going to come from a gnat. A little tiny bug. It's going to crawl into your brain, and it's going to feed off of your brain. And the bug grows and grows and feeds off of his brain. And it drives him crazy. The bug has iron fingernails and a copper beak that it keeps pecking away at. That's what the Achronim explain, that there are two types of pain. There's blunt force trauma, and there's cutting, scraping pain. And he suffered both. It's enormous pain directly on his brain. Then the Gemara tells us he was walking by and he heard a blacksmith banging with the hammer, and it sort of confused the bug and it stopped him from pecking and scratching. So he found that very therapeutic and relaxing. It tells you about the kind of pain that he was in. If you ever done construction in your house and actually lived in the house while it was going on, there's like no more annoying sound than the constant banging and the sawing and the banging and the... It's just like, make it stop already. And that's what he wanted. I need that to make this pain stop. And his downfall came about from this little bug that ultimately killed him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him who's boss. So you would expect that after going through something like that, he would be like Korach v'Adaso, you know, screaming for all eternity, Moshe emes v'soraso emes. The Jewish people are great. We're best off not starting up with them. But the Gemara goes on that when Unkelus was considering conversion, He knew how to practice what's called Ov and to draw on the neshamos that were gone already and have conversations with them. And he brings Titus and he says, "No, what do you think? Is it worth joining the Jewish people? No, no way. You know what you should do? You should dedicate your life to destroying them." "Why should I do that?" "Well, you're going to suffer in the Olam HaEmes, but at least you'll really enjoy it while you're down there." And it's so ironic. The same Titus who thought that God has no power over the water, he's the one that says, as he's about to die, "I want to be cremated and I want my ashes spread over the seven seas because God will never find me there." It doesn't even make sense. The same person who said that the Jewish God only controls the water says, "I want my ashes in the water because the Jewish God can't control the water." His whole shita changed. Because now his downfall came from a net. So now it must be that God's in charge of nets and not in charge of water. But such is the mindset of our enemies. They don't mind being self-destructive if they get to destroy us in the process. Nothing makes sense. And it's infuriating. It's infuriating when you try to study, you try to figure out, okay, what is the perspective of those who want to hurt us? What's the end game? What are they looking for? Is there anything productive that they think is going to come out? And the answer is probably no. It doesn't make sense, and there's nothing productive. And it's just to destroy us, because that's the mindset of our enemies. That's the way they think. They fight a battle with the Jewish people and with the Jewish God. And it's a battle they know that they can't win. And they know they're going to suffer for. But it doesn't stop them. How does one defeat an enemy like that? Who will just keep coming at you no matter how much they lose? There's no natural way to fight an unnatural war. We only have the Ribbono Shel'olam to turn to. And yeah, Titus is gone. And any remnant of Titus is gone. And the Gemara says Titus' punishment is HaKadosh Baruch Hu up in the Olam HaEmes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or down in the Olam HaEmes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathers all of his ashes from all the seven seas every day, reconstitutes him, burns him again, and spreads him out about through all the seven seas every day. And experiencing that, he still tells Unculus, "Don't join these people, just make them suffer." It's depressing. Sometimes we think, if we could just reason with people, why can't they understand logic? But that's not the way anti-Semitism works. It's not the way people who hate the Jewish people and who hate the Jewish God work. It's not the way they operate. And that's what this kina is a reminder of, as the kina describes how he goes in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the terrible averos that he commits in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, probably knowing in the back of his mind that he's going to get punished for this. How he stabs the paroches and blood starts dripping from the paroches, and he thinks that he's been successful in murdering the Jewish God. And this kino also talks about other, the contrasts it with the heroism of Jews who are under attack. It talks about the story the Gemara in Gittin has in Daf Nun Zayin of the 400 boys and girls who were captured by the Romans and sent by ship to Rome to be used, the girls as pilagshim and the boys for Mishkav Zachar. And one asked the Shaila to the others, "What should we do? Is it okay for us to jump into the sea and commit suicide?" And who do you ask a Shaila to? They had no one to ask a Shaila to. The oldest kid had to answer. And he said, yes, it's okay, we should, to avoid this terrible fate. And the girls did it first. And the boys then made a kal v'chomer that if the girls were being taken as pilagshim, we who are being taken for much worse should for sure do it. The power of the Jewish child to be able to stand up for what's right in the most difficult of circumstances is contrasted with the enemies of the Jews. The leaders of the enemies of the Jews, who when all things are going right, make all the wrong decisions. And we believe that ultimately the neshama, that pure neshama, is going to shine through of the Jewish people. And that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring about Geula when we properly connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam and will allow us to once and for all defeat the likes of Titus HaRasha. Zucharas HaShoros HaTzar Bifinim Sholov Charbov Olufnei V'Lefnim Nachlaseinu B'yeiz Ketim Eilechem HaPonim.